And here it is, the show you've been waiting for, the show you've heard so much about. This is the show that gives you what you want the way you like it. So move right up front for Full Frontal Nudity.
David Harris and Jeffrey Witter are about to play us a little something. Play us a little something. Is this Full Frontal Nudity? Full Frontal Nudity.
Yes, it's 7 o'clock in Los Angeles. 8 o'clock in Rapid City. 9 o'clock in Jackson.
In Baltimore, it's 6:42.
And it's a brand new hour of FFN on the air.
No.
Hold your applause. Calm down. Yes, we are live for an hour. We might be live for an hour and 13 minutes. Who knows? What we do know is we are Full Frontal Nudity. My name is Jeffrey Witte. And I'm joined by my co-host, my bandmate, the hardest working man in show business, as far as he knows. Yeah, David Harris.
That's
me. Yep. And we have a website, www.fullfrontalnudityband, that's all one word, .com. You go there to check out our pictures, our acoustic songwriting demos, you see our YouTube clips, you can stop by the store and buy some crap. You do a whole lot of things there. If you want to get a hold of us, there's a place where you can drop us a note. Just everything FFN is right there on your computer screen. And, of course, one of the things that you'll find out is we're on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening right now, you're looking at the show.
Talk Radio.
You're looking at the show page. So you can see that you can download this episode when we're all through with it. You can listen to it in the archives. Or you can hit the little iTunes icon, click on that, and subscribe to the show. That way it's no muss, no fuss. Every new episode goes into your iTunes library.
Hand-delivered,
right. Hand-delivered to you.
Fresh, right off the cutting room floor.
Exactly. So, many options. We appreciate whatever option you take. Anything else? I think that's all the shilling that we do. Well, before we do get into our normal rigmarole, since it's on NBC right now, there's another website that you can check out. It's Red Nose Day USA, all one word, .org. They have like a 3-hour special on right now.
So if you have money, give it. Because if not, they'll just continue to make you feel bad.
Yes. But it looks, they're doing like a whole lot of charities during this time, and you know, unless you want to see Nick Offerman back on your TV screen, you know, donate a dollar. And here you can go to the website, or you can call. Really? Or you can call 1-844-446-6673.
Hey, at least I coughed away from the phone.
That sounded like you coughed into the phone.
Actually,
that's something I would do, man.
I actually turned away from the phone.
Anyhow, rednosedayusa.org, or you can call 1-844-446-6673.
Please donate so you can get David to cover me off your screen.
See? you know, thanks to Dave here. He's giving you a lot of excuses to donate.
Hey, it worked for the first hour. They got Seth Meyers off the screen.
There you go. But anyhow, if you're listening to us live, thank you for listening. If you're going to listen later on, thank you for doing that too. So if you're a returning listener, you know what's coming up next. But if you're a new listener, we got to welcome you. The only way we know how. So welcome.
Welcome to a Nickelback-free zone.
And
there's a country that's a Nickelback-free zone now, but I think we'll go.
Oh, we're going to talk about that. And then, you know, this is another reason why you should donate to the cause, because they have a little skit that they were supposed to be putting on, but luckily we're on the air, so we won't see it.
No play for Coldplay.
Ah, come on. You don't want to see Coldplay do Game of Thrones, the musical?
No. And here's another band I don't want to see.
Everyone knows that Creed blows.
I think you're lucky there. You have as much a chance of seeing them together again as you do a Stone Temple Pilots reunion tour with Weiland.
That's true. But then again, Scott Weiland might go country and join these guys.
We draw the line at Florida-Georgia line.
Ah, come on. There aren't enough drugs to make Weiland do that.
Oh.
There might be enough drugs to make him warble through Vaseline like you don't know what the hell he's singing. But
that's true. And then, then of course, before we went on air, this man was singing. And I'm going to play the famous quote from one David Harris, and then I will give you my thoughts on their performance during the telethon.
Bono is a pompous ass.
If it's a new song, it didn't sound that bad.
You know, it is a new song. It's from the most recent album. And you want to know what? I was about to make a smart-ass comment about how seeing you two on there made me want to donate money I don't have just to get them off the TV. But
yeah.
I hate to admit it, that song sounded more like classic U2.
I felt the same way.
Than a lot of their other more recent stuff I heard. It actually had kind of a, I don't want to go too old school, but maybe Rattle and Hum era vibe. Kind
oh, yeah.
Of like an Angel of Harlem kind of thing.
Yeah. So, there's a positive. We're being positive.
And, you know, maybe I'll actually go to my iTunes where that U2 album still sits and listen to the studio version and see if I dig it the way I did that live performance.
Yeah.
It's called Song for Someone, by the way, in case you weren't watching the Red Nose Day telephone
right.
Thing.
Just keep in mind that we here at FFN on the air, and FFN Rule, MF, and all our full frontal nudity dealings, we live by one mantra, and one mantra only, and it goes like this.
Chipping away at the foundation of sanity, one podcast at a time.
So, oh, well.
Am I on the show?
Later.
Later, Rob. Yes, you are. And then we heard from a fan recently.
My main goal is to blow up and then act like I don't know nobody.
Oh, God. That again.
The chat room is open. Probably see it on the bottom of the show page. You can talk to us that way. Or, like, you can call us.
I'll tell you what, then. Why don't you call me sometime when you have no class?
That number is 347 884-9655. So give us a call, won't you please?
Yeah.
So let's take a look at the news. All right, well, there's been quite a few stories since last on the air. So we're about to drop it down to a serious tone. And then we'll lighten it up. On May 14th, in the late hours.
In the wee-wee hours.
In the wee-wee hours. Blues legend B.B. King passed away at the age of 89. Just seemed like when we mentioned him last, he was in hospice. So it wasn't going to be long. Just you never expected to be that quick.
I mean, we knew it was coming. We were just hoping it wouldn't be so soon.
Yes. So, yeah, the man has influenced a lot. He even played with U2. You know, we mentioned Rattle and Hum, When Love Comes to Town. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you see that they actually pulled that out to play as a tribute to him after he passed?
Yes, I saw that. And, you know, you won't find a guitar player worth their weight that will deny that BB wasn't an influence on them. And the thing is, BB King had more emotion in a handful of notes than any shredder out there. You know, you take your Steve Vai, your Joe Satriani, coughing co-host.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm just playing with you. Do what you got to do.
I'm sick, damn it.
All right. So it'll play into, he has a rant coming up, folks. I can feel it.
Oh, it's coming. It's just about a certain television network, but that will come when the time comes. Right now, we're talking about King.
Yes.
You know,
the man named King.
Well,
the King of the Blues.
There were plenty of blues kings, but
yes.
I mean, the fact of the matter, the thing that is said, our blues masters are dying. It's not that we don't have great young blues guys. We have some great middle-aged blues guys too.
Yeah.
But we're losing the legends. I mean, honestly, who's left? Buddy Guy is the only one I can think of.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only one that would stick out to me. You know, 89.
Oh, yeah. That's a long life, but it doesn't make it any less,
yeah.
You know, any less sad because, I mean, B.B. King was one of a kind, you know. They don't make them like him.
No, they don't. So, and then we go from a King of the Blues to one of the last kings of late night. Last night, David Letterman said farewell. His last ever late show. And
his last ever show.
Last ever show. With Letterman, and he says that, you got to kind of believe him. Then again, some years may go by, and he might want to do something else.
You know, I think that's it, though.
Yeah, but The show ran over, which was kind of cool. Pissed off anybody that was probably recording it on the DVR.
Well, the thing is, right before it went on, the news broadcast said that, you know, pad your DVR 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was prepared.
Well, you can you could have also padded it probably a half hour.
My DVR doesn't offer. It offers 15 minutes or a half hour, so I had to do it a half hour.
Yeah.
So that means I had to see that other pompous ass sting.
But it was a sweet moment. And you know, if you did catch the Late Late Show with James Corden, he did honor Dave most of the episode.
I had to thank Dave on the board, whatever.
Did that, but just a lot of homages.
Yeah, there was the theme.
Did the theme, and if you look at the last thing that James Corden did, he went up, ran up to the roof. Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. He ran up to the roof and said that, you know, this is for you, Dave. And he dumped a whole bunch of watermelons off the roof.
But Letterman did it first.
Yes, he did. He did a lot first. I mean, the thing is, you know, Carson was the gold standard for a lot of people. With Carson, it was very slick.
Well, the thing is, you know, as we all know now, when Dave got the slot after Carson, he was given a rule book, which was pretty much do anything that is not what Carson does. That's the reason that in the NBC years he had to pare down band because he couldn't have a horn section or anything.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you had a lot of people growing up on Letterman. And a lot of people just digging his show because it wasn't like Carson. He was bringing on just this really beautiful, odd assortment of characters onto his show. And then let's talk about music. You know, you think that he gave a shot to a lot of musicians right up till the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of artists that were discovered by many people because of Letterman.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if he liked you, you knew it.
Yes. Of course, you know, we give a shout out to Paul Schaefer and his band.
At one point, the most dangerous band in the world than the CBS Orchestra.
And they were just, you can't find a tighter band. Couldn't find a more diverse repertoire that
they
would
play.
Play
anything.
Play everything. So, you know, it's going to be a lot to miss. Like, if you tune in at 11:30 or 11:35 tonight expecting to see Dave, you're not going to see Dave.
You're going to be SOLL. What you're going to see is a Mentalist rerun because, God forbid, CBS use the time after Dave's gone to air classic Dave reruns. No, let's air a now-defunct dramatic psych ripoff.
Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And this is coming from a guy who likes the Mentalist.
I mean, here's the other thing. Who is going to tune in to James Corden after a Mentalist rerun? You know, usually people would stick around for the Late Late Show if they had the channel on.
Exactly.
Not because, I mean, how many people probably watch Seth Meyers because they keep Jimmy Fallon on?
Exactly.
Probably more than, but the fact of the matter is, bad move on CBS's part. Even if they didn't want to air Letterman reruns, why not move the Late Late Show up to the 11:30 slot to give him a chance through September when the new Late Show is ready, yes, with Colbert. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because, I mean, think about it. There are so many classic episodes. I mean, even skipping the NBC years, you have 20 years of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how many weeks until September? Let's see, June, July, August, September. So let's say there's, that's about, I'm sorry, I have a dog barking and it's distracting me. But the fact is they could take one episode from every year and show it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, they know what they're doing. Wink, wink. But it was if you were looking for a lot of tears and emotion last night, you didn't really get it.
But that's not Letterman's style.
That's what, exactly. But I felt that in his final thing, his final thank yous, I found them heartfelt. I think that's as close as you're going to get to Letterman speaking from the heart. And I thought it was great at that level. I know that there was like one grave misstep we were talking about before we went on the air.
Yeah, I was just, I know he was shown in the little montage during Everlong.
Yeah.
But I just feel that considering how important he was to David when he was alive, that the lack of a mention of Warren Zevon just is kind of unforgivable for me personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with you. I know I agree with you.
And I honestly believe if he were still around, he would have been the final musical guest.
Yes.
But we'll talk more about that later, I believe.
Yeah, we will. And now just kind of moving up the hill, in mood-wise, it was revealed on May 15th that Bruce Dickinson, great lead singer for Iron Maiden, is now cancer-free.
Yes.
And whenever somebody kicks cancer's ass, I'm all for it.
Especially when we've lost so many great singers to cancer. It's good when another great singer kicks it in the ass.
So, Iron Maiden is taking a year off from touring so Bruce can get his back to full strength. But if you're a fan, they plan to release a new studio album sometime this year. So that's something to look forward to in the meantime. And now we get to the two funniest stories of the week.
Number one
is the ooh, the two.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Roger Daughtry doesn't want fans smoking pot at Who concerts. This is the Who, man. What the French toast? Roger explained it, said that when the smoke finds its way on stage, it messes with his voice. The voice he has left. Nice little video clip on ultimateclassicrock.com. And, of course, Pete Townsend chimes in as to what the guy can do with that pot. offering him advice to the quickest way to get that high, most direct route, and he said it in Townsend style. But no, don't go smoking pot when you go see the Who. Even though it might help you.
It might help me think that they're still good.
Exactly. I mean, they still rock. You know, they're music-wise, they still rock.
But not the Who.
They're the Two. they're Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend. That's how they should tour from now on. And then, of course, the funniest story of the week. And this is a real thing. This is not Dave and I getting together saying this would be a funny story.
This is true.
This is true. Down in Australia, I believe it's Queensland Police Department had put up a wanted poster. Nickelback is being sought for crimes against music. And on the poster is a picture of Nickelback that somebody painted. Really cool poster for crimes against music. And see, these are also guys that somebody did like a study, and they write really intelligent songs according to the study. You know, I think the person that conducted the study has went to a couple Who concerts.
Oh, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how the Foo Fighters have the second grade lyrics, but the other ones are, Nickelback
third or
are
fourth,
rated so
yeah.
high. I can't figure that out at all.
I don't know. And related to that, somebody also put up a meme, I think, on Facebook, Save Classic Country or something, put up a meme. On one side, you had Kris Kristofferson lyrics. Really beautiful lyrics. One songwriter. And on the other side, it was like, was it Luke Bryan or Jason Aldean, one of those posers. Three songwriters writing probably first grade lyrics.
But country are considered the highest grade in that lyric thing, if you noticed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
But they haven't heard Bret Michaels' new song. The Bret Michaels country record. I getting political now. You know, we should go over and deal with ISIS and blare the Bret Michaels song. Put it on repeat. Just keep blaring it and blaring it and blaring it. They will give up. I believe that. They will give up. Any problem that the U.S. has, that's the solution. Because it's just a stupid song. All right. So we have babbled a half hour. So since it's at the halfway point, you are listening to us on FFN on the air. Chat room is open, but we're going to stop babbling for a few minutes. And we're going to pay tribute. We're going to play a track from Live at the Regal. Classic B.B. King album. Classic track. And then afterwards, if you haven't picked it up yet, go to Lee Townsend's site Is it rt-music.net?
Yep. And
go
there.
The CDs. And then go to the CDs, pick it up. I received mine today. It's the 1980 EP that the Ravens put out. And we're going to play a cover tune from the best $12 you'll ever spend. So, double shot. Kicking it off with the late, great B.B. King. And it pains me to say that late. But he was great. You done lost your good thing now, baby.
Love me, honey, but I believe you can.
with a special appearance by Vince Chris. I love that credit.
Yeah, they. There was some salt that went into that credit.
In case you didn't know, that was the Ravens doing their cover of with Paul Revere and the Raiders did that originally. Kix. Not talking about the band from Hagerstown either. We're talking Kix. Lovingly remastered, remixed. Completely beautiful. The chat room is still open. And you can also give us a call if you want to play.
Come and play with us, Daddy. Forever. And ever. And ever.
And let's see who we have on the phone right now. Call us. Hey. How are you guys?
Our favorite guest.
Your most steady guest. They would definitely be in our top 10 list of most beloved guests.
They're right up there with Lee Townsend and Charlie and PJ from us.
Yes. All right, so have you done your rant yet?
Yeah, it was about CBS not showing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's right. I wonder what thought process went into it. Okay, let's after Letterman goes, how are we going to fill that time slot? The Mentalist. We're going to put on the Mentalist.
Let's show Mentalist reruns. Let's let's try to kill James Corden before he really had his chance.
I mean, look, Jimmy Fallon is on NBC. Jimmy Kimmel is on ABC. We got to compete with them. The Mentalist. I was shocked when... Because I read that news story, and I said, somebody's making a joke. So I read it, and then I went to a little TV guide thing on Dish, and that's what I did. I coughed when I saw that they weren't joking.
Nope.
I just don't know.
Somebody's high.
That's right. They went to the Who concert.
Yeah.
Got yelled at by Roger and Pete.
This is a rock and roll concert.
A bleeping tea party. If you watch the clip, it's like crowd members saying, eat the grass. Eat it. Eat it. And then you hear Pete Townsend get on the microphone. Eat it. Walk. I said eat it.
Just eat it. Eat it.
And then it cuts to
it.
Pete's suggestion. Stick it up your bleeping ass. It's the most direct way to do it. I said, yes, I remember being at Hershey Park. Hershey Park Arena, where Pete Townsend told me to go bleep myself. Still a badge of honor, baby.
What?
Now, you got the wrong bait.
Let's not even go there.
Yes, one of the hackneyed FFN bits. It's on CD somewhere. We're not bringing it out, though. is there anything you want to talk about, or should we play another song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have nothing.
Okay, so I didn't know. So this is kind of an extra song, but it fits into B.B. King. It fits into Pete Townsend, because both of those guys play perfectly good guitars. B.B. played one Lucille.
And he played like eight Lucilles.
Yes, many, many Lucilles. But Pete Townsend didn't have a girl guitar. He just played.
I'm not surprised.
Perfectly good guitars. So here's a John Hiatt classic called Perfectly Good Guitar.
Thank you.
some John Hiatt right there. Purple Heat, good guitar. Jamming tune. So, folks, we got 10 minutes left. You're not chatting. You're not calling.
So, fuck you, man.
Don't make us call David Duchovny or Nick Offerman. Don't make us do it. Yeah. Don't make us call Chad Kroeger so he can tell you how intelligent his lyrics really are. You still got a little bit of time to call in at 347-884-9655. We'd love to hear from you, but we're not hearing from you. Did you happen to watch the season finale of SNL?
Unfortunately.
What were your thoughts?
There were worse.
There were worse?
Worse episodes this season?
Yeah.
It wasn't the best, but it wasn't the worst.
All right. Well, I could only make it.
I made it through the whole thing. I don't know how. But, I made it through every episode this season. And I can say that falls in about the middle of the season from best to worst.
Okay. Now, very preoccupied with sex. That's what I got. The first few sketches, monologue included.
I can honestly say I didn't pay that much attention to it. I can just say that there were worse episodes that I saw this season, but that one still wasn't anything special.
Okay. Then I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I think we're drained out.
Our batteries are running out.
Yeah, well. Ask them much. I mean, a lot of the TV shows are in repeats right now. At least the ones that I watch.
Yeah, that's the way it will be until next year.
Oh, my goodness. Waiting for Ray Donovan in July. That's something I can look forward to.
I can honestly say I tried to watch it. I just couldn't get into it. Though I do watch the other Showtime series. It's on at the same time, so.
Yeah.
I'll have that to look forward to.
Nobody's calling. Nobody's chatting. And they complain about us babbling. There's a reason why we babble.
Because you don't call.
Because nobody calls.
Why you don't call?
It leaves some to say.
Is the show over?
It's getting there, Rob. It's getting there.
Can say on a positive note that Letterman did end on a high note.
Yes, he did. Absolutely. Everybody was talking about, oh, Bob Dylan's going to be his last musical guest. Wasn't true.
I knew better than that, too, because anyone that knows, and Letterman talked about how when he, after he had his open heart surgery, when he was asked by people that booked acts for the show if there's anyone he'd like to have, you know, he specifically asked for the Foo Fighters and for them to do a particular song. And the Foo Fighters actually canceled a tour.
In South America, no less.
Yeah. In order to appear on Letterman, and performance.
So we saw it as a tribute to Dave Letterman. That's how the only way that we could close out our show. So you listen to us tonight. Thank you for tuning in and listening. If you're going to listen to us later on, thank you. And we'll leave you the way that Dave left his audience. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
So now here's the Foo Fighters, Zeberlong. See you next week, folks.